This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Our numero dos of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This hour of the show, about to get into the water cooler cheat sheet. The top three sports stories that you need to know. And then we'll go behind enemy lines. We're going to talk about the Missouri Tigers and the Pitt Panthers, the two teams that will square up against your Gamecocks and your Tigers coming up this weekend. But as it is 7:01 in the morning, and as you do have to get your behind into the office, or maybe you're one of these fortunate people that gets to work from home, whatever it might be. Whether you're working in the office, maybe you get to stay home. Maybe you're one of those coffee shop people. Take the laptop into the coffee shop. It doesn't matter. At some point, you're going to have a conversation with somebody. You're going to talk sports with somebody. And when you do, you're going to need to know what's going on in the world of sport so that you can have that conversation. Well, good news for you. You came to the right place. You came here, and you came here just in time for this. All right, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. What's our first one? I bet it's Jake Paul. I bet Jake Paul's the first thing that's trending on X.
So you're laughing. I am legitimately concerned about
myself. You're so mad right now.
Yeah, because I've made a mistake twice this week in the same spot. I don't do that.
Oh,
I don't.
Man.
I'm slumping mentally.
I need to
do more word games or something. I don't know.
We got to get Lonzo into Sudoku.
Yeah,
now
something that stimulates the. Yeah, I just
quick. Somebody send him today's Wordle. We need Lonzo on the Wordle. We got to get that brain clicking.
Yeah, I need to calm down because you see how red my face is. I'm going to stroke out over here because I'm so mad at myself.
I want you to know before we get to item number one. I let me see if I can make you feel better. Back in the first hour of the show, back in the first segment of the show, great one. And I will acknowledge that while I am my usual ball of energy that I am every day, the reason we are in the mornings. Back in the first segment of the show, Zoe, there was a moment where the television froze, which happens every now and then, right? Like it just freezes. The ticker freezes, the image freezes, it just freezes. And I happened to be looking up at the TV when it froze. And it froze at the exact moment that they were showing a replay of Mike Tyson slapping the hell up out of Jake Paul. I mean, hand on face. And the TV froze. Well, when the TV froze, I looked over at you. And you were very clearly reading something on the computer monitor. But you were perfectly still. Like prey animal in the wild trying to avoid the gaze of the leopard still. Like gazelle on the savannah trying to avoid being eaten still. You were not blinking, not shoulders rising and falling with breath, nothing. You were frozen. And for that long, my brain went, time has stopped. Like, I'm not, and this is not ha-ha funny, not I'm making a joke. For that long, my brain had an internal crisis of time is frozen. The TV is frozen. Lonzo's not moving. No one is saying anything in the chat right now. Time is frozen, and I am stuck in a loop. So you're not alone. All you did was push one wrong button.
Yeah, but when you reach a certain age and you start thinking about your mortality and you worry about the things that you're really good at and you start slipping, you wonder, is this it? Is this the decline? Am I
the beginning of the end?
Yeah, yeah. I legitimately think of those things when I make a mistake in the same place twice in 1 week. I don't do that.
It's the beginning of the fall of the Zoman Empire.
It's all over now.
All right, let's dive into the water cooler cheat sheet. Let's get to item number one. I don't like it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to promote it. I heard Lonzo promoting it yesterday during the sports flash. It upset me greatly.
I did it all week, by the way.
I ignored it until yesterday when I could no longer ignore it. But this evening, the 58-year-old, 233-pound Mike Tyson will get into a clash at Jarrah World down in Dallas with the 220-pound Jake Paul. Yesterday, the 27-year-old Paul crawled up to Mike Tyson, stepped on his toe, and received a slap to the cheek for his problems. After it was over, he was talking to Ariel Helwani on the stage, and he said, Mike hits like a... And that tonight, and I'm quoting, he's gotta die, end quote. Which, by the way, because he's 58 years old, is absolutely a possibility. So, that fight is tonight. It is on, what is it, Netflix? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's funny. You know where it's at.
This evening, live from Jarrah World, a 58-year-old grandfather will fight a YouTuber. Everybody enjoy. I don't want to talk about it, but it is very clearly something that is one of the biggest three stories in sports. Let it be known that Rob Brown does not let his personal emotion impact you people and the show. Even if I do think anybody who watched this is wasting their time and making the world worse by allowing influencers to have that much more control.
You people, I don't think of you as you people. I think of you as us.
I do too, until you act like you people. And y'all are acting like you people right now. All right? But that fight is tonight. You guys have a great time. I'll be watching a real athletic competition. I don't know which one yet, but I will be.
That thing's coming on like at 1 or 2 in the morning. You'd be asleep.
No, I won't. Not on Friday night. I mean, I'm not going out. I'm not going to get in anything, but I won't be asleep. You know what I probably
do? You're not going
out
because you're almost 40. So, I mean, that's how that works.
Why my back just start hurting all of a sudden? Item number two. Philadelphia Eagles improved their record to 8-2, one game better than the 7-4 Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bum. Last night with a 26-18 win over their NFC East Division rivals. With that win, the Philadelphia Eagles have regained sole possession of first place in the NFC East. Jalen Hurts, 18 of 28 for 221. No touchdowns, no picks. It was the ground game that won the game for the Eagles last night. It was Saquon Barkley, 26 totes, a buck 46, 2 touchdowns. This is one of those games. I don't know how much, if any, of this you got to watch last night, Lonzo. But if you did not watch this game, I hope that you will go back and watch it. Especially you young ballers out there. All right? And I want you to go back and watch this game. Because this game was a masterclass from the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. Honestly, if a game ball got given out last night, it has got to go to the big uglies that are in the trench. Zoe, you know me. I am all about promoting the O-linemen. It is the most difficult and yet most thankless job in the NFL. We do not talk offensive line as much as we should as fans. If you go watch this game last night, you will see one of the best overall offensive line performances I have seen. And remember, when Jason Kelce retired and walked away from the Eagles, we all said, are they going to have a problem? Because they got to replace Jason Kelce. They got to move guys around. There's an entire reboot of this O-line. Dude, last night, they looked like they've been playing together for years. They were dominant. In fact, my favorite play last night was Saquon's first touchdown run. Because it was the one where he started right and he cut back left. So if you go watch that play, when Saquon Barkley cuts to the left, you can see him running behind just a wall of green jerseys facing the other way. They absolutely kicked the crap out of the Washington. And this is a good Commanders front seven. It's a good front seven. They kicked the crap out of that front seven. When Saquon cuts left, all you see is the nameplate of five Eagle offensive linemen, because they got everybody in the Commanders front seven going outside the hash the other way. Saquon hits that cut back to the left, and that man could have taken a leisurely stroll to the goal line. We can talk about Saquon and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and the mistakes and this and that, but if you watch this game, it was art from the Eagles' offensive line.
Well, you know, I am definitely pro offensive line, but I didn't watch the game. There are two teams that I do not watch because of preferential treatment by the referees. One of them is Philadelphia. The other is Buffalo. Their games are nearly unwatchable because of what the refs do.
I'll tell you what. Last night dispelled that, because the Eagles got shafted last night a number of times.
And I mean, that's the way that people who are Eagles fans are gonna put it. But we all know that the refs are in the pockets of Eagles and Buffalo. So I can't watch this. I'll be forced to watch a Buffalo game this weekend because they're playing Kansas City. But I can't handle the fact that they're paying the refs off and no one's doing anything about it.
Can you guys hear me scratching my beard out of...
You always scratch your beard, dude.
Out of my innate desire to just hold back right now and just let y'all handle that. Y'all got this, right? Y'all got this? Y'all got 71307. Y'all, okay, there it is. Wait, is a Chiefs fan complaining about the refs? All cap. Wow.
See, it's a psychological thing. It's what you do. It's called projection, mm-hmm. And it's what Eagles fans and Buffalo fans do. They project, and what they know what they're doing, so they put it on another team, and they rally the simple people to get behind them and go, oh yeah, I saw it, even though it's not true, and everyone knows that they're the ones really getting the treatment. Everyone knows. I mean, it's no secret. Some people are afraid to say it, but I'm not. So that's why I can't watch a Philadelphia game, and I'll only watch a Buffalo game if they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs.
Texter said, don't forget about your Chiefs. They are the worst, lame-zo.
Thank you. Thank you for continuing with your projection. But see, I'm on to you, so it doesn't work.
Texter said, Lonzo, that is quite the take, considering you're a Kansas City fan. My man DB in the chat, like, what are we talking about? Casey is one of the worst ones. This cat is complaining about the refs, and they get all these weak-ass calls.
See, by the way, love the name of your name. I thought it said blonde, but I guess it doesn't. I need to put my glasses on. It's bland. Not blonde would be better.
Lonzo's falling apart over here.
Yeah. No, I was actually cracking on him, but, you know, I don't expect. Listen, we all know it's true, and I get it. It's fine. I mean, you are a part of the mass mind. You're a part of being told this is what something is without actually opening your eyes and looking and seeing that Philadelphia and Buffalo get the best treatment by the referees out there historically. It's been that way, except for, you know, the four times that Buffalo went to the Super Bowl and lost, which, you know, has never been done before or since. And they haven't even sniffed the Super Bowl since then. So, but still. It's horrible. It's about time someone spoke out. I'm willing to do it, and I just did.
Texas says a tackle that false starts every snap. Mahomes has the most INTs overturned by penalty. No holding calls through two Super Bowls. Zoe is trolling everyone this Friday.
I wouldn't know how to troll if you told me how.
26-18, the Eagles knock off the Commanders. By the way, Jaden Daniels, 22 of 32, a buck 91, a touch and a pick last night. The Eagles, not an awful night on the ground, but certainly not great. 63 yards for Brian Robinson Jr., but only 93 total rushing yards last night for the Washington Commanders. Here's what I think. What I think is we've gotten to the point where you are starting to see the Commanders look like a normal football team. I pointed out the fact that as much as I love this team, and I want this team to win the NFC East because I have a bet out on them to do it, like a big bet, like a bet I will make good, buy good whiskey money if they get the dub.
So not Christmas gift kind of bet.
Oh, now, dude, it okay. Might cover all my gifts.
Oh, all right.
This ticket was 20, I think I got it at 23-1. I didn't put a fat, like a paycheck on it. But at 23-1, I didn't need to. But out of the seven wins, here's the teams they beat. The Giants, who stink. The Bengals, but week three, when they hadn't really gelled yet. The Cardinals, and they did beat the hell out of the Cardinals. And the Cardinals actually look like a good football team. So that's a good win. The Browns, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Giants again. That's about the least impressive seven wins you can stack, right? So maybe it's not that they're bad, because they've won all the games that they are supposed to win. They lost to the Russell Wilson Steelers, a team that in the last 3 weeks leads the NFL in offense.
They would have lost to the Justin Fields Steelers, too. I don't know for certain. I mean, and neither can you.
They lost that game by a single point, and Russell Wilson's putting up more points by a lot than they did under Justin Fields. And they lost to the Eagles, which is, again, now the NFC East leading Eagles. So I can't really be all that upset about it. All right, finally, let's get to item number three. It is very rare that a preview for a college football game is going to be an item on the water cooler cheat sheet. There's normally bigger fish to fry when it comes to the top three stories in sports. And there's some other ones I'm interested in here. Connor McDavid became the fourth fastest player in NHL history to reach 1,000 points last night in a 3-2 Edmonton win over the Nashville Predators. I would love to talk more Connor McDavid because what that cat's doing right now is damn impressive. There's a lot, but it is a college football game preview that is going to make the list here. And it is because what is supposed to be the biggest game in the Southeastern Conference coming up this weekend, now all of a sudden it's lost some firepower because there are two names that are out when Tennessee plays Georgia, number 7 versus number 12, coming up at 7:30 this Saturday night, live from Athens, Georgia. Georgia 9.5-point favorites, but Georgia has one healthy running back on the roster because Travis Etienne is out for this game. He suffered an upper body injury 2 weeks ago against the Florida Gators. They decided to suit him up last week against the Ole Miss Runner Rebels. He was able to tote the rock 6 times before he had to check out of that game. He was not right. Now he is out for this weekend, which means that the Georgia Bulldogs are down to one healthy running back that has significant carries on the season. And not only are they down to one running back on the roster with significant carries this season, He's a freshman. Nate Frazier is second on the team with rushing with 333 rushing yards and three touchdowns, and he's the only guy. They are missing Cash Jones. They are missing Branson Robinson, who has missed the last three games with a knee injury, and now Etienne is out. They have one running back that has toted the rock more than a few times this year going up against Tennessee. And here's the other aspect of this. It's not just Georgia down a running back, but Nico Iamalava, why is his name so much harder than DJ Uiagalelei?
I was going to say, are you sure?
I haven't
really heard it said, so I don't know.
Nico!
There you go.
Tennessee's quarterback, Nico.
I'm a little less trusting with you and names.
It's Nico I don't know why I know it. I can do it in my head. I can do it. I can say it up here, but when I try to connect head to mouth, it just falls apart. And I've never done. I'm not this guy. I am always the dude that takes the time to learn. When DJ Uiagalelei showed up and you had hosts around the country go, DJ Ukulele, aren't I hilarious? No, just learn the man's name. All right? It's not that tough. I'm that guy. I can say it in my head.
Yeah, I can
but
say.
But I cannot connect the brain to the mouth and make it work.
I can say Giannis's last name in my head, too.
Yeah,
no, but I can't say it.
I am 100% the dude.
Oh, I practiced. I've practiced a bunch. And
for
then,
sure.
Then when I've tried it on the air, it just doesn't work. So I just say, luckily, Giannis, everyone knows who that is. So I don't have to say his last name.
I am the dude that takes the time out of respect to these athletes to learn the correct pronunciation of the name. When they say this is how you pronounce the name, that's how I'm pronouncing the name, out of respect to them. I can say it in my head. I can't connect the brain to the mouth. So Nico's questionable. Now, up until yesterday, the assumption was that Nico was out for this weekend. The Bear on Fox said that he had got inside information that this cat was out. Now, that's not to say that Tennessee's not massaging and manipulating the injury report, right? Because what you don't want to do is have Georgia doing nothing but preparing for your backup quarterback all week, which I understand. Maybe they're playing games here to make Georgia have to prepare for Nico and then not throw him out there. But if the expectation's Nico's out, and then you hear, by God, that's Nico's music on Saturday night, now all of a sudden that game's a hell of a lot more interesting, especially if Georgia has one running back that's only got 300 yards on the season. There's suddenly drama in what is effectively a playoff eliminator between Georgia and Tennessee. All right, when we come back here in just a minute, we've already kind of talked about it, so we'll give the short segment to South Carolina versus Mizzou. We will end the hour talking Clemson and Pitt. Next hour, we have got Chris Miller, host of the South Carolina Gamecock pregame and postgame show, joining us here on the show. We got at 9 o'clock, John and Kevin from Moving the Chains talking high school ball. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, who are the Missouri Tigers? What do we expect to see? We had Lulu Kessin on yesterday. We talked a little bit about this team. We talked a little bit about what South Carolina needs to do. We have spent all year talking about the defensive line of the South Carolina Gamecocks. And rightfully so, right? Rightfully so. The South Carolina Gamecock defensive line, specifically at the defensive end spot, the pass rush spot, the edge rusher, is absolutely as good as you're going to find basically anywhere in the country. Anywhere in the country. That's not the focus. I mean, it is the focus because pass rush is absolutely how you will win this game. If you can prevent, because I do think this is a Mizzou team that traditionally wants to run the football. Traditionally wants to run the football. But I think the goal for Mizzou this week is going to be we have got to throw the ball and we've got to get the ball out quick. The fun thing about South Carolina football is that as good as Dylan Stewart and Kyle Kennard and Tonka Hemingway and TJA Sanders have been, as good as the defensive line has been, as good as the linebackers have been, we haven't really talked a lot about the defensive backs, right? And there is a good reason for that. One of the good reasons is there have been very few teams that have been capable of creating time for quarterbacks to throw the ball. That is what South Carolina did against Vanderbilt. Get to Diego Pavia. Make Diego Pavia beat you under pressure. And Diego Pavia couldn't do it. Diego Pavia, who is a very good quarterback, but is a quarterback that has been successful by utilizing his legs and getting outside of the pocket. South Carolina said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to establish the edge. We're going to establish the edge. We're going to keep Pavia in the pocket, and we're going to make him beat us with no escape to the outside and a pocket that collapses in the middle. And Pavia couldn't do it. He got out of the pocket. He didn't get out of the pocket. He got through the second line of defense, the linebackers, one time. It's the only touchdown Vandy had. You did it against Texas A&M as well. You got two quarterbacks at A&M that want to get outside of the pocket. They want to extend plays to the left and right, not just up and down. And so they got to the point where, once again, you use Stewart, you use Kennard, you set the edge, you keep those quarterbacks contained in the pocket, and you say, look, if you can stand in that pocket and you can beat us down the field with your arm, it is what it is. That we're good with that. I mean, not we're good with it, but you get the point. That if you're going to beat us, that's what you're going to have to do. And A&M could not do that. Oklahoma could not do that. That's the spot that you're in. And I think that that's got to be the game plan this weekend. Except for, I think, with the situation, with the depth chart that you are looking at here for Mizzou, I don't think that Brady Cook is anywhere near the level of Diego Pavia. Now, I do think he's probably better as a passer in terms of the decision making. But I also think you've got a very good chance to rack up 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sacks in this game. This game is going to be won with a very quick pass rush. If you're not getting to Brady Cook, then I think that is where your defensive backfield has to be locked down. I think this is the most pressure. Now, I've been saying something about South Carolina all year long, dating back to the conclusion of the Ole Miss game, or excuse me, the LSU game. A game that most of us feel like South Carolina got jobbed. Like you got that game ripped away from you, okay? I said going into that next game, going into the Ole Miss game, I said, hey, make it competitive. You got blown out. The week after the bye. So I think it was whatever game that was, the nobody game the next week.
Akron.
Respect to Akron. My bad, Zips. I said, look, the rest of the ride, South Carolina has two options. They can go out and they can compete. I'm not saying you got to win out, but you got to go out and you got to compete. And if you go out and you can compete, then there's something here. But if you go out and you get blown out again by anybody left on the schedule, then I genuinely think even the folks that have been, like us, like Zoe and I, even the folks that have been optimistic about, yeah, it's Shane's building something and maybe it's taking longer than people would like, but it's coming along. I think even it'll get to the point where even those people are going to start to fade out a little bit. Well, you came out and you blew out Oklahoma. You came out and got into an absolute slap fight with Alabama that realistically could have, should have, would have won that game if you had finished. You B-slapped Oklahoma. You B-slapped Texas A&M. You B-slapped Vanderbilt. Mizzou, and I said this back in the first hour, Mizzou came into this year as a top 10 team. Mizzou came into this into the season believing that this is it, right? They had aspirations around Eli Drinkwitz, just like South Carolina did around Shane Beamer this year. This is it. This is the team. This is the team that we are going to finally establish ourselves as an SEC contender with. And it is not gone well for Mizzou. I came into this year and I said, I think this is the most overrated team in the SEC. And for the record, let's be very clear. They are 7-2, right? They are 7-2. They lost one to Texas A&M. They got B-slapped. They lost one to Alabama. They got B-slapped. Here are the teams they beat. Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College. And we got to get to this Boston College story yet. We haven't gotten to it yet. But Boston College, Vanderbilt, really kind of around the area where Vanderbilt was starting to say, okay, maybe we are a decent little football team. The Massachusetts Minutemen, a 4-point win over Auburn, and a 1-score win over Oklahoma. So they're 7-2 on one hand. On the other hand, their 7 ain't nearly as impressive as South Carolina 6, in my opinion, right? And the losses they have taken combined are worse than the losses that South Carolina's taken. This Missouri team, this is what they've got left. After you, they have Mississippi State and Arkansas. You were the last ranked team. Mizzou's coming out firing. And I mean that metaphorically and literally. They're going to try to throw the ball on you. This is the game where Clayton White gets to take all of the doubt, cynicism, skepticism about him that Gamecock fans have made very, very clear over the past year and go, I got this. I got the boys ready. And as long as this team doesn't come in with that overconfident mentality that changes the character of this football team, you're walking out of here with another top 25 victory. We'll talk more about this game with Chris Miller coming up in at about an hour from now on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Rolling through the second hour of the Rob Brown Show. Chris Miller will join us in 1 hour from now. John Epps, Kevin Thomas from the Moving the Chains podcast will join us at 9 o'clock straight up to run you through the high school schedule. It's playoff football time at the high school level already. Just like that. Seems like the season started yesterday. Already playoff time. So we'll talk to Kevin and John coming up at 9 o'clock.
Speaking of which, program announcement. If you are looking for the Burns game this evening, turn over to News Talk 98.9 WORD. That's where the Burns game will be airing tonight at 7 p.m.
There you go. Cole Bryson on the call. Looking forward to that one. Playoff time, baby. Untouchable. Win or go the hell home.
Actually playing at PC. I wouldn't mind rolling over there for that.
I honestly thought about it. I really. You'd have to go tonight.
To Clinton to see it.
But. Clinton. Yeah, listen. Let me tell you what you've done, Clinton. By demanding that Lonzo and I just ignore an entire letter in your name, you have made us emphasize the thing you've wanted us to. If you didn't fight us on it, if you said Clinton and you never said, no, you're saying it wrong, then we would just go Clinton and we would move on. But now every time we say the name of that city, Lonzo and I got to lean into it like Clinton.
Spent a little bit of time in Clinton a few years ago as the pregame host for Presbyterian Blue Hose.
You know how much my car weighs? Stop it, people. All right, there's a T in there. Sorry. All right. Clemson taking on Pittsburgh this weekend. Not that you all don't know this already, but you're all aware that every game is win or go home for Clemson now, right? Like, there is no more room for an L. I know there's talk.
Miami kind of helped them out by losing. They did.
I don't disagree. It will still take a win out for Clemson to get into the ACC title game. There is no path to an ACC. And for the record, they'll still need help to get in. I mean, you're not in the clear. But help is irrelevant if you don't help yourself. And so that is kind of a big part of it here. Is this game, as far as I am concerned, this game is it. And on top of this game being it, I think you need style points in this game. All right? You kind of put style points up against Virginia Tech. Was it as impressive as I would have liked 24-7? To be honest with you, not really. Okay, Klubnik, 16 of 34, 211, three touchdowns and a pick. Phil Moffitt, 26 totes, 128 yards, no touchdowns, no rushing touchdowns for the Clemson Tigers. You put three up through the air. Only one touchdown scored offensively by Virginia Tech. The other touchdown was a kick return for seven. I do think that you got to kind of credit the defense for going up there to Blacksburg and effectively limiting to Virginia Tech to one touchdown. Now, we'll say this. Special teams is going to have to get better. It's going to have to get better because I do think that those kind of mistakes, you didn't get away with those against the 5-5 Virginia Tech team. As much as I don't think Miami is it, and for the record, I want it on the record that I've been telling you Miami wasn't it from the beginning of the season, because Mario Cristobal ain't it, and I've told you the whole time, Mario Cristobal is inevitably and once again going to cost a good team an opportunity. It is absolutely hysterical that for the second time in a row, it was against Georgia Tech. But those are the mistakes that you make those against Miami, you open the door for a team that I genuinely think you can beat. I still think you can beat Miami. I think you can beat SMU. I think you can beat Pitt. The problem is with the loss that you took to Louisville, you may not get your chance. But if you are going to get your chance at the ACC title game, you have to win this game. You got to win all three games, but you have to win this game. Here's the problem. You're probably playing for an at-large. You are probably playing to convince the committee that a two-loss ACC team deserves a shot at that bottom rung. But in order to do that, you gotta put a little polish on the resume. This has got to be a game Clemson goes out and puts up like a lot of points. Now, here's the good news. SMU started this season off on a heater. Started off on a heater. But they got blown out by SMU, and they lost to Virginia. And respectfully, it ain't exactly a wonderful Virginia team, right? It's a Virginia team that Clemson beat comfortably. You blew it 24-9. That is back-to-back losses for the Pitt Panthers. You don't have room for another one if you're Pitt either, right? Like, Pitt's kind of in the same boat. And Pitt has even less room. They do have one more top 25 game. They got Louisville. And if they go out there next week and they beat up on Louisville, a Louisville team that came to your house and beat you, who knows? Maybe Pitt gets the edge out of the two-loss teams at that point that we are talking about here. Now, there's a couple of things that are going on here in Clemson's advantage. Pitt has a number of injuries across both sides of the offense at the point of attack, which says to me, Clemson's got to win this game in the trenches. I know we just talked about that with South Carolina, right? It is going to take an elite pass rush, and it is going to take the offensive line bringing the same consistency that they showed the last 2 weeks against Mizzou so that Rocket Sanders can do what Rocket Sanders can wants to do, because Mizzou wants to, they want to attack you with the front seven. I need Lenoris on his game, quick decisions, accurate throws, but I need the offensive line giving him time and opening holes for Rocket. Clemson wins this game with Sammy Brown on the front seven. I mean, that's it. I was watching a couple of Pitt pods the last couple of days. YouTube shows, podcasts, whatever. The last couple of days.
Wait, they have those?
Yeah. Shockingly, other schools have fans.
Nuh-uh.
I know. It's crazy. I was watching a couple, and there was one that jumped out because there was a one of the, I think, Locked On guys that covers Pitt. They said, hey, on offense, if Pitt's going to get this done against Clemson, on offense, who's the dude? Who's the guy? Who's the cat that we got to keep an eye out for? And Pitt went straight to their tight end. I've said this before. You can have a wonderful tight end. Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs have one of the best offensive tight ends in Travis Kelce of all time. If you are leaning on your tight end to carry your team, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because what it says to me is there's one of two things. Either number one, there's not anybody on the outside that feels dangerous as a pass catcher. Or number two, you expect that your offensive line is going to get its ass kicked and you got to get the ball out quick. And a tight end running a quick out, a slant across the middle, a dump, whatever, has to be utilized as a primary weapon. If you are that's not to say your tight end can't be an important part of your offense. But if that's your go-to, if that's your first thing.
I was going to say, Tom Brady on the line wants to talk to you about that.
Welcome to the show, the GOAT.
You take Gronk away from him, you take some championships away from him.
I don't disagree, but what has my primary complaint been about Tom Brady's time as a Patriot? They never went and got him elite receivers on the outside. He had a couple. Troy Brown went early in his career. He had one season with Randy Moss before they sent him back to Minnesota, right? He never had an elite wide receiver. I genuinely believe that if the Patriots would have invested in their wide receiver core instead of in stockpiling draft picks like a dragon on a mountain hoarding gold, I think Tom Brady would have had two or three more than he has. He could have got to 10 if they would have got, but he never did. And so he had, in many games, had to lean on Gronk. I don't want that. And that to me is what I think we've got to pay attention to here if you're Clemson. They are aware, Mizzou, they are aware that you have got the edge on them when it comes to rushing the passer, when it comes to owning the line of scrimmage, when it comes to the big uglies up front. They are aware that the edge goes to Clemson. And in order to counter that, they are going to try to use Gavin Bartholomew very frequently within their pass game. They are going to try to do a lot of dumps, a lot of circles, a lot of hooks underneath, a lot of comeback routes, a lot of slants, ins, outs with their tight end to find where the pressure's coming from. That, to me, means Clemson's got to win with a four-man rush. I need my defensive line here because what I need to be able to make sure is no matter what side the tight end's on, I got to make sure my strong side backer is committed to keeping him uninvolved in the passing offense. I got to make sure that my middle linebacker is ready to back up and help. I can bring some weak side pressure. I can bring some middle pressure, whatever. But I need my front four to own Brady Cook. I need my front four to own the Pitt Panthers. I need my front four and Eli Holstein, their quarterback. I need you in the back pocket on it. I cannot have him getting comfortable in the pocket. They're going to try to run the ball with you. Against you with Desmond Reed. Desmond Reed's got 670 yards and 4 touchdowns. He is not the threat. He's a good little running back. He's shifty. He's only like 5'5". He's like, Warwick Dunn. That's my comp. He's like Warwick Dunn without the speed or talent. He's good, but he's not Warwick Dunn. He's got that same running style. You should be able to eliminate that just with the base defense. But that is your front four. That is where this game is won or lost. We'll talk more about that game later on in the show. Give you our predictions, projections, prognostications coming up in the next hour of the show. We'll open up the 8 o'clock hour with the audio blitz, give you some of the best sound that we have heard from the last day. Then at 8:20, we will break down the Carolina Panthers game coming up this weekend. Chris Miller, host of the Gamecock pre- and post-game show, joins us at 8:35, 9 o'clock. John Epps and Kevin Thomas from Moving the Chains set you up for the high school playoffs this evening. Then the entire back half of the 9 o'clock hour, we will look up and down the NFL and college football schedule, and we will talk to you. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show. The audio, but am I going to break too early? I just looked at the clock. I was really trying to be on time, and I realized, like, am I on time, Zoe? Or do I need to talk for 60 more seconds?
Dude, we're good. Either way, I can fix it. So we're good. I mean,
that's why he's in charge, yeah. And I'm not. That's also why he's going to do a sports flash.
All right, the Philadelphia Eagles took full control of the NFC East with a 26-18 win over Washington last night. Jalen Hurts completed 18 of 28 passes for 221 yards. Saquon Barkley had 146 of Philly's 228 rushing yards and two touchdowns on 26 carries. Where's the defense? I don't know. That's a lot of rushing. Philly improves to 8-2, one game better than Washington in the division. Braves starting pitcher Chris Sale was named Major League Baseball's Comeback Player of the Year. The 35-year-old was 18-3 with a 2.38 ERA and 225 strikeouts across 177 and two-thirds innings, winning the NL's first Triple Crown since Clayton Kershaw in 2011. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. It's Furman versus ETSU right here on your home for Paladins football. And basketball. The Fan, Upstate.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.